fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're making our way through the temptation of Jesus in the desert. It's a wonderful meditation for us in this season of Lent, because this is a season of spiritual combat, and it's a season in which we, by God's grace and through the help and the shepherding of the church and the Word of God that's given to us in this season, helps us to see, lay hold again of the reality of who we are in Christ, our fundamental identity, and what happened to Jesus in some way is going to happen to anyone who's seriously following him. That identity is going to be tested. And the enemy's going to come and he's going to try to tempt each and every one of Jesus' followers to get them to doubt their identity and their destiny and to turn to another path, to find another way, to try to find in this world what can only be given to us by God. Our deepest longing, what we really want, is given to us by God. Because, friends, remember, we are made by God. We're made for God. Only our relationship with God, the infinite love and goodness and mercy and glory and power and everything that can be imagined that exists in God has been given to us for us to be able to share in, to taste and see how good God is, the scripture says. As St. Augustine so famously said, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. And in the restlessness of the human heart, we become easily seduced by the enemy to find counterfeits, something else to satisfy that restlessness, something else to fill the big hole, the God-shaped hole you've often heard people say, to fill that in us. So here's Jesus now in his humanity. It's the person of Jesus, and he's just come from being baptized, in Luke's account, in the Jordan, and the Father affirms his identity. Now Jesus begins his mission, and bam, the first thing the Holy Spirit leads him to do is leads him right into spiritual combat and battle. And he's strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program Monday and Tuesday, you can find them on our website at renewalministries.net. You can download, listen to them on your computer or listen to them on your iPod, or you can also find them at avimariaradio.net. So I ended yesterday with the temptation the devil threw at Jesus. Look, if you are who you say you are, who you think you are, and you're so hungry after 40 days, why don't you do something? Why don't you turn this stone into bread? And Jesus teaches us, as he declares to the devil and quotes the word of God, the devil's tempting him by quoting and misquoting, you'll see later, the word of God, trying to get him to stumble in his weakness. And Jesus turns back and he says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. There's so much there, but I won't repeat what I said yesterday. In verse 5, chapter 4 of Luke's gospel, and the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it's been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it shall be yours. Here's where we see flat out what Satan is all about. Worship me. He wants to be God. He's jealous of God, envious in his pride. He hates God because he's not God. He will not serve. And he's bringing every knee on this earth. His strategy is to bring every one of us made in the image and likeness of God. He's come to degrade it, to degrade us, to subdue and enslave us, and force us to serve him. That's what he's after. And now he's pursuing Jesus. And listen to what he says. And this is not a lie. He said, the devil would take him up and showed him all the kingdoms of this world. Remember what St. John the Apostle said. The whole world is in the power of the devil. Sometimes you hear that. You can hear that and think, well, that's hyperbolic, or what could that possibly mean? The whole world's in the power of the devil. The world is good, and God created the world, and what God creates is good. It's absolutely true. But as I've said many, many times in the program, what Satan has control of is the dimension of this world that we live in that's fallen. It's under a kind of slavery. And he calls the shots. There's no question about it. As I mentioned yesterday, it doesn't take much for us to recognize that the world is very broken. Look at all the wars that continue to simmer. Here we are already engaged, and no matter what we do, we're going to be sucked into a bigger war, probably. The world is always convulsing with anger and rage and unforgiveness and pride and desire to dominate and rule. It's all there. All this stuff, friends, that you could talk about, whether it's the massive drug problem, the inner city violence problem, the divide between peoples, the constant battling, what's going on? It's a revelation of the human heart. We have sin-sick hearts. The problem is in me. The problem's in all of us. It's not China. It's not just Russia. It's not the Middle East. It's not just ISIS. Yes, there's bad people acting badly, and the world needs to do something about it when the time is right. But listen, all of it emerges from the human heart. The collapse of 2008, the gigantic collapse on Wall Street. What was it? Greed, greed, greed. Politicians greedy, bankers greedy, normal people buying junk because they want to win big. They're greedy to the point of irrational pursuit of money, sex, power, that all that stuff was present there in so many ways with so many people. It's the fallen world. It's the flesh being seduced into what the enemy serves up. I saw this amazing interview. A young man from Marquette, Michigan, I met on a retreat, sent me a video of the conversion story of the lead singer of a band called Korn, which I'm 57. I'm so out of touch with that stuff. But they were, much to my surprise, even though I hardly ever heard of them, they were a massively successful band. They went platinum. They were global, big time. And they were a intense, driving hard band. I don't understand all the music that's there, but I saw video from his testimony. They showed video of these massive crowds of young people, 100,000, 80,000, and they're rocking at the top of their, just super intense, kind of out of control. And I look out and there's 100,000 young people just banging their heads like they're in unison. And just, it's like it's a moment of total release and intensity. Well, this guy's testimony, he talks about how quickly this band came together and how quickly they became a huge success. And he said, and is one of, apparently the entire band is actually converted to Christ, but I just only heard two testimonies, the lead singer and the bass player. And the lead singer was talking about his life and their life. And he said it was basically nonstop alcohol and drugs. Alcohol, drugs, sex, money, power. The bass player talked about his whole life. He grew up in a family that, he said, as early as his 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, his father encouraged him to drink beer. And his parents were partiers at that time in his life. And he grew up in that home, and then his parents got a divorce at age 13. Broken family, father not being what a father's supposed to be. Here's the temptation. The devil's coming right in to blow up the family. Father has no idea what his identity is. And he's going to pursue what the world says is the way to go. Just like Jesus is being tempted here. Look, come with me. I'm going to give you a good time. Come with me. I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you influence. And here, in particular, in Jesus' battle, the devil's trying to politicize Jesus' messianic calling. Jesus has come to die on a cross, to shed his blood, to break the power and to break the back of the enemy, the devil. But he's basically trying to say, look, what you need is power and glory. That's what you need. You need all the power to do whatever you want in this world, and I can give it to you. I'm the ticket. One condition, worship me. Friends, meditate on that a little bit in these days. You get a sense of just how wicked the devil is and what he's after. He will serve up fun, like these guys were saying, that the bass player of this band said from the time his parents got a divorce, he just internalized, filled with anger, filled with confusion. At a certain point when the bands he was in all expressed kind of his rage and his intensity, he became an intense drug user. He said he was really mean to women. He was angry at them, and he looks back now as a converted Christian. He went back and he repented to people he hurt, but he said that the reason he behaved that way toward women is He did not want to be rejected. He was here, this tough rocker, you know, who was wild in front of really millions of people. Huge fame. He treated these women in very degrading ways because he was afraid to get hurt. He was afraid to say that he cared. That's how broken he was, because he came from a broken home and a broken situation. And the devil served up to this young man. He said, hey, go for it. Go for the drugs. Go for the money. Go for the power. Go for the girls. Go for it. And go for the fame. And he's saying, I thought that would fill me up. And he said, the more I got, the more drugs I took, because the emptier I felt, I had to numb myself. And he got into a deeper and deeper downward spiral of slavery to the powers of this world, thinking he was going to solve his problem, have his heart's desire fulfilled, and he was going to be king, and he was going to find it in his fame and his power and all the rest of it. And it led to basically destruction. That's the plan of the enemy. And that's what the enemy was trying to do here with Jesus. If you worship me, you're going to get it all. And doesn't this look beautiful? Look, man, there's nothing more you can get in this world than what I can give you. I can give you what you really want. Listen to your heart. You want fame, don't you? You want power to change everything. Look, if you want to change everything, come with me, because I own everything. Don't go the way of that crucified prophet who died naked and with no power. Don't follow these priests and monks and religious people who have no power in this world. They can't do anything. Come with me. I'll show you the way. I'll give you a share in my kingdom. But remember, it's going to cost you. You got to turn your heart away from God, and you got to worship an idol. You got to worship something that's not God. Friends, that's what's in play. That's what the devil's going after. And he comes clever. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing, and it all looks nice. Now here's Jesus after he's tempted. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle. It's the next temptation. But basically, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Here's the Son standing in his identity, doing only, he said in the first temptation, how he answered it, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. What has God said? You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Friends, who are you serving? Where does your time, your talent, your treasure, your heart, your preoccupation, your imagination, to what is it directed? Is God first? I want to talk about this tomorrow a little bit more, because I think this whole area of idolatry and the worship of things that are less than God is much more prevalent than we realize. And the culture makes a living, makes a fortune, absolute fortune, serving up idols that feed our desire to want to worship something. We're worship creatures. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.